Always look forward to getting our copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac, and it is in my hands, the 2019 edition. And joining me on the program now, Ben Kilbry, the Almanac's editorial assistant. Ben, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Thanks, Brad. It's great to be with you.
How long have you been with the Almanac?
I've been working here for about a year and a half now. It's been a great experience.
How do you get involved in the Old Farmer's Almanac? What's your background?
So interesting story. I mean, I went to college for creative writing, but someone who works here, Tim Clark, was my high school English teacher, and he really taught me he got me into writing and being confident about it, and then came back into my home region, and he said, "Hey, there's this job. Do you want to try out for it?" So I came in, and he works across the office from me.
Well, you sound like you're fairly young into the business. I'm curious, did you have any knowledge of the Old Farmer's Almanac before you got the job?
I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot. I, of course, recognized the cover, and, you know, it's iconic.
It is.
But I really had to pick it up as I went along, but I've learned a lot about it in the time that I've worked here, and it's, I think, a wonderful publication.
You bet. I think this is, what, the 227th edition or something like that?
Yeah, like 227 years. You got it. That's how long we've been going. Terrific. Since 1792.
All right. Well, I told Ben we always got to start with the winter weather because we try to look at things. We have a show called Party Line, and we look at woolly worms, and we look at persimmons, and we're trying to figure out this weather. But might as well just go to the Old Farmer's Almanac. So give us the news for the winter of 2018 and 19 in the Midwest. What can we expect?
So for winter in your region, which is Region 10, the Heartland, you're going to be getting a milder than normal winter. So I should say that it's still going to be winter, but overall, on average, it's going to be slightly warmer temperatures. You're going to be looking at a little less snowfall than you might be used to, and you're going to be expecting some, the coldest times is going to be in mid and late December, and then going into January.
Okay, so not a lot of snow.
No, not a lot.
Not a lot of snow, okay. Anything unusual about the winter weather nationwide?
Nationwide, we're looking at overall a milder than normal winter. So just, on average, a few degrees warmer than general, and that's been happening over the last few years. You know, temperatures worldwide really have been increasing.
And then we might as well look to the summer next year, 2019. We're coming off a summer that was hot and dry until late, and then we got a whole bunch of rain. What are we looking at next summer?
Well, it's still going to be below normal rain, but it's going to be cooler than this summer. So, you know, you can still expect it to be hot in June and most of July, but from what we're predicting, it's going to be cooler overall.
Yeah. We just came off Hurricane Florence. Is that something the Almanac, do they even get into things like hurricane season or not? Do they mess with those type things?
We do have a section that explains hurricane season and how it all happens, but in general, we don't predict exactly hurricanes because we just look into storms and the like that.
All right. We're talking with Ben Kilbride from the 2019 Old Farmer's Almanac, which is out. He is an editorial assistant. I've got several topics we can dig into, but is there anything in particular you'd like to start off with that you're very proud of or interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been doing something the last few years, which is going and interviewing farmers from around the country. We have an article. I know you have a copy in your hands right now, and everybody else can get one soon. It's on page 72. It's called Farmer to Table. And essentially, we've gone and interviewed a bunch of farmers and gotten to know them a little bit and really just wanted to learn a little bit about their story, about how they got started, what's worked for them, what are their hopes for the future. And I think it's just, I really like it because it's important to really know the people who grow our food.
No question about it. I was trying to see who's the closest to us. There's an Illinois farmer, I see, that you interviewed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult to get, everybody, or else it would be the entire book would just be interviews of farmers, which, you know, wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But
did you try to find farmers that are in a, I guess, variety is what I'm looking for, different aspects of agriculture?
Yeah, exactly. So we have some that are vegetables. We vegetable farmers. We have one in Alabama that's dairy farming. They do sheep milk and goat milk. And then there's another one that's a nut farmer. So we really tried to get a variety of different kinds of food because it's all different.
I think there's a feature, speaking of farming, and maybe this is stretching a little bit, tying it in, but backyard livestock, there's a section there about the pros and cons.
Yes, yes, that's a great article. So that one is really, it's supposed to be a little bit more on the cheeky side, which is just to get a little bit, you know, what would it be like for people to have, you know, cow in their backyard? It's not necessarily going to be easy. So, you know, we have a little bit of fun with just kind of giving a little bit of background on each kind of animal and then, you know, saying that you're going to, like, with chickens, you're going to have to slaughter chickens if you want the meat. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Go back to the old days, right?
Exactly.
Ben Kilbride's with me, and when I think about the old Farmer's Almanac, one feature each year is trends. They always try to look at the trends that are coming in the next year. So for 2019, Ben, give us some of the trends that the Almanac is predicting.
All right. So we're definitely predicting that people are going to be growing a lot more food indoors, like in pots, to kind of, you know, make use of smaller spaces. And I think that's interesting. My own generation, millennials, were extremely houseplant-oriented, myself included. And that's definitely going to continue up as we don't necessarily get into the housing market, but continue to rent. And then you can't really have a garden if you rent. So that's interesting. And I've also been intrigued by reading these trends because, you know, I get to go through them a lot. And I've wondered if we actually end up influencing the overall trends that we're writing about. People read them, and then they go out and start doing the things that we've predicted. So, you know, is it chicken before the egg or, you know, one of those kind of questions?
Well, let me throw you a couple here. Exercise classes at the grocery store. That may be coming. Well, I guess it's logical, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Get your exercise in, then buy your groceries. DNA kits to help us choose the best foods.
Now, that's an interesting one.
No doubt. what else do we have? Toilets that flush on command.
Well, I'm not surprised by that. We have everything that ask computers questions to go and get us food at the grocery store themselves, and then there goes your exercise.
And then collectors seeking simple technology. So some oldies but goodies may be coming back. My dad still has a rotary phone he uses, but apparently that may be a trend that's coming back.
He does. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I definitely learned how to use a phone on a rotary phone. I thought it was the best thing ever.
Very good. You're too young to remember ViewMasters, right?
I have no idea what that is.
I have no idea. Yeah, that's mentioned in the old Farmer's Almanac as well, the old ViewMasters. All right. Also, I think about recipes. You can find that. In the past, there's been a recipe contest. I know the Almanac's had, but are the recipes in there?
We do a recipe contest every year. Mm-hmm. So on page 56, you can go, and our recipe contest for this issue was for oranges. So people came in with a crazy number of different recipes that include oranges that you would never think could include oranges. But the winners, I think, are really good. So we have a cran orange couscous salad, spiced orange salmon with caramel edamame, corn sauce, and then orange and bacon Brussels sprouts, which looks delicious and was delicious. We all get together and we all cook the recipes, and then we kind of have a big feast to taste test them.
All right. And then speaking of eating, the best way to eat a bouquet.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Now, what are we talking about here?
So that's really just talking about how there are a lot of flowers that are edible. So it's surprisingly it's surprising actually how many flowers you can eat. Some of my favorites are nasturtiums and pansies, and you can really just looking through, there's a lot of different ones you can eat. So there's like apple blossoms and carnations and daylilies, ones that you would never think that you could do. But they're really nice because you can put them on a top of a salad, and it just kind of makes it look a lot fresher and more colorful.
And you just eat them as is, or?
You can, but if you have problems with allergies, it's recommended that you take out the stamen and the pollen, because that's the most likely source of causing any interaction with you. But for the most part, you shouldn't have to worry about that. As long as you read up on the flowers that we have information in here, you can say which ones are best for beginner flower eaters.
All right. I'm going to take your word for it on that one. Ben Kilbride has written an article in the Old Farmer's Almanac. It says, Duck Stamp Dynasty.
Yes, so this
That's
one...
That's yours, isn't it?
Yes, it is mine. Got it. Got my name. It's right
what's
there.
What's it about?
Yes, so that's... I did not know much about this before I wrote about it, but I'm glad I did. What we have in the United States is, if anybody who hunts, especially ducks or waterfowl, you need to buy a duck stamp. And the way that the image of the duck stamp is created is there's a competition. It's the only government-funded art contest in the United States, which I think is pretty cool. But essentially, people... paint and then send their paintings in to be part of this competition, and the winner is printed on all of the stamps.
Very good. All right. And folks will be interested in our listening area. You've got we've had Marianne Jarvel on the show before. She's got a story on the ABCs of pickling.
Mm.
And, that's a big deal, and the best way to make pickles and picolines, so that's a part of the almanac as well. What else do we need to talk about? How's this all put together? How long does it take you guys to produce the Old Farmer's Almanac?
So we start a year and a half in advance, so we are already, or have been, working on the 2020 almanac, if you can believe that. So really it starts with we all get down and sit together and have a meeting, all the editors, and we just start talking and trying to figure out what we want to put in this next issue, and then over a year and a half it just slowly comes together bit by bit, and suddenly we're working on another issue again.
Very good. And of course everybody's familiar with the traditional Old Farmer's Almanac, but it's kind of spun off. You've got a kids edition, I believe, too.
Yes.
Don't you? Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we're up to the seventh edition now, but we're working on an eighth. Comes out every 2 years. I very much like this, like the Kids Almanac. It's a great resource and doesn't just have to be for kids. I read it myself.
You're a kid at heart. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely.
That's not out this year, but that'll be next year?
Yeah, but we do have the seventh edition out, which it's a good issue.
Very good. Calendars, people can find those, I know. Would that be good as far as, I know a lot of people turn to the almanac for the moon signs, where we are. Is that also a part of the calendars as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We also have a moon calendar. So if you want specifically just everything about moon, it's all in that one. But our most popular one is the gardening calendar.
There you go. So those are, again, if you're a fan of the moon signs, you can get your own specific calendar as well. We should also mention that... you are digital, you are online, so folks can take advantage of the Old Farmer's Almanac that way too, right, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to almanac.com, and we've got more of pretty much everything on there, and a lot of articles from past issues and more than that. And to find an issue of this current almanac, you can go to almanac.com/where-to-buy, and you can type in your zip code, and it'll give you a list of stores in your area that are selling the almanac this year.
All right, very good. The 2019 Old Farmer's Almanac is on newsstands now. The price tag is $6.99. You can also get the digital as well. Ben, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's everything. Thanks, Brad.
I really appreciate you coming on, and continued success with the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is Ben Kilbride, the Almanac's editorial assistant. You can check out his work and others in the Old Farmer's Almanac 2019 edition that is on